In our series, I've entitled Loving the Lord's Day. I've entitled this sermon today, The Sabbath Practice, the discipline of being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. If you look at our text here today in Revelation 1 and verse 10, you see a very significant verse in the full biblical unfolding of this doctrine of what we've called the Christian Sabbath principle. Remember that in the Old Covenant, based on the revelation of God, the people practiced a seventh-day Sabbath, a Sabbath day that looked forward and anticipated the coming of the Messiah. Once he's come, and once he's been resurrected from the dead, now the church on the first day of the week is practicing the Christian Sabbath principle on the day of Christ's resurrection. We are looking back and remembering the presence of Christ in our midst, and specifically his resurrection. Imagine being one of those early followers of Jesus. You find yourself in a difficult position where on one hand, you are thoroughly Jewish. You have grown up in a Jewish nation with Jewish practices and customs, and yet there's always that, but then God fulfilled his promises. There's always that, and then, here's the rest, you remember Paul Harvey, there's the rest of the story. That after all of these intriguing things had happened, now they're all coming to fulfillment in the person and the work of Jesus. And it appears that very early in the Christian church, the practice was adopted of worshiping God on the first day of the week, the day of Christ's resurrection. But that never undoes this earlier Sabbath principle that God had established in his word. And so really what we see, I believe, is a fusion of the creation Sabbath and the redemption that we have in the resurrection of Jesus on the first day of the week. And so imagine being part of that early group. Maybe you would go and you would use your local synagogue, which was empty on the first day of the week, and you would now worship on the first day of the week together with other Christ followers. Imagine what that then developed as in that early part of the Christian church throughout the life of the Apostle John. Apparently, the Apostle John was quite a young man early in his life. When we see him in the Gospels, there are several evidences that he was a relatively young man. And now we see John as an elderly saint. And we see that he is, in fact, continuing to follow Jesus. He's continuing to be a disciple of Jesus. And one of the ways that he evidences that is by being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John's imprisonment on the island of Patmos did not keep him from honoring Christ or from keeping the Christian Sabbath. Even during incarceration, he honored the Lord of the Sabbath. And you remember, we had an entire sermon where we thought about that principle of Jesus being the Lord of the Sabbath. He honored the Lord of the Sabbath by keeping the Lord's Day holily and happily. Enter into a disciplined liberty that acknowledges Christ's claim to a whole day in your calendar and savor the blessings of this sign of the covenant of grace. Now, I hope that you can look back and you can remember the cumulative argument that we've made in this sermon series. I hope that you have seen the commands beginning at the Sabbath, the creation Sabbath itself, where God set apart a day as a holy day. I hope that you've seen that as we've gone on, there is a development and a building and a progression to the Bible's teaching on the Sabbath. Today I would point out that here in this passage, it says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is, that this is a day that the Lord has claimed. In the Old Covenant, that day was the seventh day of the week. and in the New Covenant, the Christian Sabbath principle is built on this idea that God has a day that he claims. And so I would encourage you to enter into a disciplined liberty that acknowledges Christ's claim to a whole day in your calendar and savor the blessings of this sign of the covenant of grace. So friends, what we're saying here is that there is a point of important continuity between the old covenant, the older administration of the covenant of grace, and the newer administration of the covenant of grace. There's one covenant that is revealed in the Scripture. And here we see that in the new covenant, there is a day that belongs to the Lord. Now the question today, flowing from the title of this sermon, the Sabbath practice, is how ought we to keep the Lord's day? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why is it that we are called to keep one day in seven holy? That's because at the beginning, God rested from his work which he had done, and he made the seventh day holy. And so there's this holiness issue that we need to bring front and center today and consider this matter of the holy Sabbath or the day of the Lord. So we want to look at this today under 4 points. The first is, keep the Lord's day holily. Now, this is a difficult word. I'm going to say it again. It's the word holy turned into an adverb. You ought to keep the Lord's day holily. That is, that this day is set apart. The word holy refers to something unique, distinct, or set apart by God from common use for his purposes. God made the Sabbath holy at creation, and he confirmed that setting apart in the moral law at Sinai. He also confirmed that setting apart by choosing the first day of the week as the day that his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, would be raised from the dead. And so what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? Friends, we need to see that there is a setting apart that takes place. Bruce Ray, in his book, Call the Sabbath a Delight, says, to keep the Lord's day, or to keep the Sabbath holy, means that gathering with the Lord's people on the Lord's day for corporate worship is necessary, not optional. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were doubled on the Sabbath. People came together at the tabernacle or at the temple or at the synagogue for worship and in their homes for fellowship. Believing men, women, and children all welcomed the Sabbath as a gift that God had given them in love, a regularly returning sign of his covenant of grace. Friends, we need to see that central to being a follower of Jesus is obedience to the command to gather together as the worshiping body of Christ. If you want to write down a very interesting cross-reference that Ray uses here, Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. I'd like to read a portion of that, but would commend this passage to you for your own study. Hebrews 10, 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Friends, we need to see that this exhortation, indeed this imperative, for that's what it is here, let us not neglect to meet together, that the Lord's day revolves around the assembling of God's people. There are many other things, many lawful things to do on the Sabbath otherwise, but that it ought to revolve around the people of God. This is a day where that is set apart from our jobs, from our recreations, in order to gather together as the people of God. We need to keep the Lord's Day holily, or set it apart as holy. Number two, we need to keep the Lord's Day happily. Now, this is an interesting statement that Ray makes in his book. But he says we need to keep the Lord's Day happily. What does it mean to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's next? Joy. Do you experience, on a weekly basis, do you experience the joy of the Sabbath day? Friends, we need to see that God is not merely after our will, that we're going to, while rolling our eyes and grumbling in our mouths, we're going to keep the Sabbath day holy as an act of the will. Now, your will is important. In fact, God commands you, and he expects you to respond to his commands in willing obedience. But remember that obedience flows from a heart. And it's the heart, it's your affections, it's your mind that God is redeeming. And so we need to seek to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to confess and remind one another that God has given us new hearts. He will take out of us our heart of stone, that stubborn, rebellious, independent heart, and he'll give us a heart of flesh that we might do his will. Friends, we need to keep the Lord's Day happily. My favorite verses, I go back to them again and again in my own life regarding the Sabbath day, are Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. And I would remind you that in this passage, God has his word directly addressing our affections. He says, Isaiah calls upon God's people to call the Sabbath a delight. Not merely a command, but a delight. We need to see that God's will for us is to delight. Wow, my Savior, my husband loves me enough to set apart a day to meet with me, to bless me, to teach me in his ways. Friends, why is that such a difficult concept? This is a vital matter of our hearts. Ray calls Bruce Ray says, spiritually, the Sabbath is a symbol of salvation by grace. The point of entering into the Sabbath rest is because, as God did when he entered into his Sabbath rest, is that we are saying to one another that we are not saved by our own efforts. It is not by my works, but by the work of God that I can be saved. True rest can only be found in Christ. That is surely good reason to rejoice. Friends, we need to see the symmetry and parallel of the gospel message and the gospel lifestyle. That in the gospel message, we are called to live diligently for Christ. But we're not saved by those diligent works. We are saved by faith alone, through grace alone, because of Christ alone. And so 6 days we're called to go forth and love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love our neighbor as ourselves. But one day in seven, we're called to practice gospel living. To enter out, to leave our works, and to enter into a holy and a happy rest. Do you keep the Lord's Day happily? Is there more that you need to do as a matter of your mind, as a matter of studying God's word, to be able to say without qualification, I believe that the Lord of heaven and earth has set aside the Lord's Day for his worship and for my rest? Consider that. And again, myself or others would be happy to help or instruct you in that if that's your desire. But I believe that we are called to keep the Lord's day happily. So keep the Lord's day holily. Keep the Lord's day happily. Now, number three, keep the Lord's day honestly. And again, I would point us back to Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. Ray notes that Isaiah brings the central issue of the Sabbath controversy into clear and bold focus. Very simply, Ray asks, whose day is it? Is it your day or is it God's day? Who is the Lord of the Sabbath? And will I bow before him? Now this is where, friends, we have to step into the matter of Sabbath practice. We have to think about how is it that this day is a day of rest? And there's a series of five questions that Ray lays forth, and I'd like to read those in our presence here today, because I believe they really are the pulling together of a lot of biblical teaching on this matter of the Sabbath. Ray writes, "It may be helpful to ask yourself these or similar questions concerning any proposed activity on the Lord's day. Number one, will it in fact refresh me, or will I be worn out?" It's interesting to consider that that for some, physical labor is not a part of their job, of their 6 days of work. But for some it is. And so we need to consider this matter that's clearly presented to us in the Bible of refreshment. That one primary purpose of the Lord's day is refreshment. Secondly, Ray writes, is a competitive spirit, as in league sports, compatible with the purpose of refreshment of the Sabbath? Number three, will a planned recreational activity interfere with my previous commitment to corporate worship and fellowship? If I do this thing, whatever it is, will it cause me to miss the evening service of my church? Number four, is my will subordinated to the will of God? Or am I doing my own thing and thus doing as I please on God's holy day? Is what pleases me what pleases God? And then finally, number five, can I do what I am thinking of doing to the glory of God? Friends, this is a matrix and a metric that I've found very helpful in my own life as we strive to not merely reduce the day to a list of do's and don'ts, but rather as we see the Sabbath principle pervading all of our life. We need to see that there is a focus and there is a discipline. I've used the term a disciplined liberty regarding this matter of the Lord's day. So keep it holily, keep it happily, keep it honestly, and finally today, number four, keep the Lord's day humbly. Think about this. We honor God by giving to him of our money, which comes from our work. We honor God in our giving out of our work. But friends, we also honor God with our time in keeping Sabbath. That is, in seeking to be refreshed, to be rested, not merely through a cessation of labor, although that's a vital part of it, but as we press into Christ, that we honor him on the Lord's day as we give out of our labor. 6 days, we're honoring God in our work. But also we honor God in our rest. We need to see that God takes this matter of the Lord's day seriously. He calls us to refrain from work, to refrain from doing our pleasure on his day. Rather, we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. How do we do that? We do it humbly. Friends, here is where I want to remind us that the Lord will lead us to our own convictions regarding the particular details of the Lord's day, of practicing the Lord's day. We need to see the seriousness of this Sabbath commandment. It is part of the moral law of God. It ought to bind the consciences of all of God's people. But we also need to see that the living out of that conviction is a matter that the Bible does not extensively speak to. We need to see that we must keep the Lord's Day humbly. And when our convictions differ regarding the Sabbath day, differ from someone else, we need to see that these are matters of application of the Christian Sabbath principle. We need to see that there are important outlines, there are important helps in the Scripture that will guide us in these things. But these are matters of principle. And we may not add our 99 commandments to God's 10. But rather we need to apply a positive commandment in practical ways in our lives and in the lives of our families. But friends, as we do so, we are humbling ourselves before the Creator God Himself. We are saying, God, we're living out our love for You. The love that You have worked in us by Your Holy Spirit, we're living out our love for You in practical obedience. And so, friends, when we cease from our labor, when we cease from our economic activity, when we cease from these various things, we are honoring our King. I'd like to conclude today with a quote from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 4 through 7. Listen to these words. Listen to the hope here as Isaiah is looking into the distant future and he's seeing that God will bring many people into His kingdom. This will conclude, I'll tell you, with that famous statement that Jesus quotes, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." So listen to these verses from Isaiah 56, verses 4 through 7. "For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be His servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." Friends, we need to see the invitation of Christ. We need to see that He is saying, come into my house, live according to my standards. We need to see that that there is both an anticipatory element of the Sabbath, and there is also a memorial element of the Sabbath, that when we enter into the Sabbath, into the Lord's Day, as we're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to again and again and again bring us to Christ, that we might meditate upon His perfections, that we might see the sufficiency of His work upon the cross, that we might anticipate being with Him and seeing Him face to face forever. In conclusion, I'd point you to the quote there at the bottom of your notes. The way to preserve and protect the biblical Sabbath is neither by relaxing its hold on the rhythm of life, nor by strengthening its grip by the imposition of man-made rules. The way to preserve and protect the biblical Sabbath is to keep it in the way that God intended it to be kept, with the understanding of its purposes and appreciation for the blessings it brings. We have seen that the Sabbath is a present rest based on past events, having future reference and fulfillment in the great day of the Lord. Oh, friends, may you, like the Apostle John, live in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And may you meet Christ. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how we thank You for Your word. How we thank You for the example of those who have gone before us. I thank you, Lord, in particular today, for the example of the Apostle John. That, Lord, throughout all of these years, that this man was a follower of Christ. That, Lord, he did what he did and said what he said and rested the way he rested because he was a disciple of Jesus. I pray, O Lord, that you would help us to live in this eternal Sabbath into which you have entered. That, Lord, as we awake on a Lord's Day morning, that we might consciously enter into that rest and enter into the faith and the celebration of the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Lord, as we live throughout this day, we pray that you would turn our minds and our hearts to the fullness of our salvation that yet awaits the people of God. Lord, how we long to enter into that eternal Sabbath. How we long to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb when he comes to put it all to right forever. Lord, when sin is taken away, when there is no more death, there are no more tears, there is no more crying and pain, because the former things have passed away. Lord, help us to enter into that Sabbath. Help us to persevere, Lord, for those who are struggling with this doctrine or with other matters in their lives. I pray that you would help them to find their rest in Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.